Of Mountain House freeze-dried food with up to a 50-year shelf life. Survival Enterprises has
broadcasting to the U.S. and around the world by way of clear digital audio. 22,500 miles above the planet. This is the Global Star Radio Network.
Should you say at the Genesis Network, and while we're waiting for our regularly scheduled guest to arrive, I thought I'd read you what George Bush said at the emotional ceremony that was held at the White House to award the Congressional Medal of Honor to Chief Petty Officer Michael Anthony Mansour, who of course died. died in Iraq recently, so this is what he said. The Medal of Honor is awarded for an act of such courage that no one could rightly be expected to undertake it. Yet those who knew Michael Mansour were not surprised when he did. This son of Orange County, California, grew up in a family where helping others was a way of life. Mike's father was a Marine, his mother a social worker, and together they raised their four children to understand the meaning of service and sacrifice. After enlisting in the Navy, he began preparing for the ultimate test of physical endurance, SEAL training. Less than a third of those who begin this training become SEALs, but Mike would not be denied a spot, and so in September of 2004, he earned the right to wear the Navy SEAL Trident. This newly minted frogman became a beloved member of the SEAL team community. His teammates liked to laugh about the way his shiny Corvette would leave everybody in the dust, but deep down, they always knew that Mike would never leave anybody behind, not when it counted. And so, in May of 2006, Mike and another SEAL ran into the line of fire to save a wounded teammate, and with bullets flying all around them, Mike returned the fire with one hand and helped pull the injured man to safety with the other. In a dream about the incident months later, the wounded SEAL said that he imagined, he dreamed that dream that Michael had actually arrived wearing wings. On St. Michael's Day, September 29, 2005, Michael Mansour would make the ultimate sacrifice. Mike and two of his teammates had taken position on an outcropping of a roofing when an insurgent grenade bounced off Mike's chest and landed on the roof. Mike had a clear chance to escape, but he realized that the other two SEALs did not in that terrible moment, and he had two options. He could either save himself or save his friend. For Mike, there was no real choice at all. He threw himself onto the grenade, absorbed the blast with his body, and one of the survivors put it this way. Mikey looked death in the face that day and said, "You cannot take my brothers. I will go in their stead." Well, that's a beautifully crafted remark about a very brave man, and our men fighting over in Iraq and Afghanistan are very brave, but they're being sent to fight in wars that we have no intention of winning, wars we never should have started, and of course a man like President Bush, who was afraid himself to fight in Vietnam and got himself into the National Guard and then never showed up for ordinary practice or didn't put his time in as he should have, even in the National Guard. George Bush thinks nothing of sending men over, men far braver than he is, to fight and bleed and suffer and die in Iraq and Afghanistan, but never to be allowed to win. We fought a no-win war in Korea. We fought a no-win war in Vietnam. We fought a no-win war at the Bay of Pigs, where the men were sent in and promised air support and supplies, and we had no intention of giving it to them. Who is we? Well, not you and I, ladies and gentlemen, but the people from the Council on Foreign Relations and the Skull and Bone Society, of which of course, McGeorge Bundy was a member, and he was really in charge of that. And There was no supplies, no air cover. Those men were sent into the Bay of Pigs to die, and our boys are being sent over to Afghanistan, Iraq, to fight in a no-win war. We're not allowed to win it. And if you doubt that, you go to my website, RadioLiberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com. And of course, you pull down my December newsletter. It's the speech given by General Ricardo Sanchez, who commanded the coalition forces from June of 2003 to June of 2004 in Iraq. Read what he has to say, and he'll tell you, our boys are dying. We're not allowed to win the war. Shame on you, George Bush, for praising a man that you sent to die in your stead.
Nuclear reactors provide economical energy, but would you be prepared during an accident? During nuclear disasters, great amounts of radioactive iodine are released into the atmosphere, which are then readily absorbed into the body. Medical Corps potassium iodate gives you virtually complete protection from the most feared consequence of a nuclear accident, radioactive poisoning. Potassium iodate can protect against radioactive poisoning by filling the thyroid with good iodine. This shields the thyroid and prevents it from absorbing the harmful radioactive iodine. Potassium iodate is better than the iodide form because it is not as likely to cause upset stomachs in children, the elderly, the sick, and pets. Order the official potassium iodate for only $24 and save $5 by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. Call now and get free shipping. That's 888-803-4438.
This is Elizabeth Border, author of the two-book set, America Attacked and Chaos and Chemtrails. I wrote these books because I believe that every American should have the vital chemtrails research info. I was much heartened and encouraged when a radio listener recently wrote me, quote, "You are truly a great writer, so clear and powerful and thorough in your communication. You have the strength to forge ahead in the midst of darkness, and you also believe in the power of goodness and truth. I hope you listeners will order these crucial books. Send your check for $32 post-paid to Radio Liberty, P.O. Box 969, Soquel, S-O-Q-U-E-L, California, 95073. $32 to Radio Liberty, Box 969, Soquel, California, 95073. Or call 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927.
It's a fact. Since the creation of the Federal Reserve in 1913, all banks in these United States create money out of thin air for every single loan they issue. With never-ending late fees, over-the-limit fees, and higher interest rates, it has become mathematically impossible to repay all debt, making all of us slaves to our creditors. The Federal Debt Relief System has created a successful attorney-backed program to legally eliminate credit card debt, personal loans, lines of credit, and other unsecured debts which have been fraudulently created by the banks. We can terminate your unsecured debt within 18 months with a much lower monthly payment, ending with nothing on your credit report. Join the thousands of Americans who now breathe with a sigh of relief because they have legally eliminated their debt. Instead of living each day in fear and frustration, it's time to take action and turn your life around. Call the Federal Debt Relief System at 877-943-8600. That's 877-943-8600. Or visit FDRS.org. Find out how you can break the cycle of debt slavery. Visit FDRS.org today.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at the Genesis Communication Network, and with us is Pastor David Whitney of the Institute of the Constitution. And the purpose of the Institute is to teach the American people what 100 years ago everybody knew, and that was what our Constitution was about forming a government under a law, not a democracy, but a republic, a Christian republic where the power of the government over the lives of the people was limited by the chains of the Constitution. Isn't it a shame that they don't teach this in schools any longer? Isn't it a shame that most Americans honestly believe that we're a democracy and that we have an evolving constitution? If you have an evolving constitution, you have rule by men, and it always ends up in dictatorship, as democracies always do. In fact, you go back and read what Plato wrote in his Republic 2400 years ago. He said democracies always degenerate into despotism. Democracies always degenerate into despotism. Well, if that's true, then why do they keep telling us we're a democracy? Why does George Bush tell us we're a democracy? Because he's controlled by people who want a dictatorship in what was once the land of the free and the home of the brave. And that's why what Pastor David Whitney and the people of the Institute of the Constitution are doing is so important. Because the most powerful tool we have is truth, and that truth rests upon your education. So, David, without further ado, you pick up the story.
Thank you, Dr. Stan. Last time we were together, we were talking about the power a jury has. That is a jury designed by our...
Speak up a little louder. You're a little soft.
A jury designed by our founders to actually be a check against government abuse and tyranny. And that design requires, of course, that jurors understand and are able to apply the constitutional principles upon which our republic was founded. You're absolutely right. We are not a democracy, very clearly not a democracy. We're a republic. And unless people understand that and understand that principle, they cannot prevent tyranny from happening. So one of the courses we teach, in addition to our course on the U.S. Constitution, the Bill of Rights, the Declaration, our Foundations course, we have just developed a course on the power and the duty of the jury, which is really to defend the Constitution in the courtroom. However, you can be assured that you'll never hear about that. You'll never hear about your role as a juror to judge the law against the standard of the Constitution. You're not to judge the law by any willy-nilly standard you create in your own mind, but by the standard our founders used to determine what is lawful and what is not lawful. And that is the basis upon which we have to make a decision as jurors regarding the law before we actually apply the law in the case that's brought before us to examine the individual facts that are alleged against the individual being brought to this trial. Well, as a backdrop for all of that, we really need to understand that our founders were working out of a biblical worldview of law and government. That is, they said in the Declaration of Independence, it was the laws of nature and nature's God that gave them the right to do what they were doing in separating from Great Britain and in creating a constitutional republic. And that phrase, the laws of nature's God, that second phrase, specifically refers to the Bible. And so our U.S. Constitution, our whole system of government, was really based on a biblical view of human nature. It's a realistic view of human nature, and there's two major things that each person needs to understand to have that worldview about human nature that our founders had. And that, first of all, that all men are made in the image of God. They're image bearers. And as image bearers of God, that means each human being has dignity. Each human being has rights, and those rights are endowed by their Creator. They don't come from government. Government doesn't give you any rights, and that's why I don't like the term civil rights that became so popularized in the 60s, because the idea of civil rights is that, well, that comes from civil society, or that comes from, you know, our civil government gives us our civil rights and so on. Well, no, that's not what our founders said. They said our rights are endowed to us by our Creator. They're God-given rights. That's the better term, not civil rights, but God-given rights. And all men have these God-given rights from the moment of conception, which is why I believe it is murder to kill an unborn child. That unborn child, although they have not yet come, quote, into the world, they came into existence at conception, and from conception forward, they're made in the image of God, and therefore they have rights from their Creator. And therefore, all human beings are to be treated equitably, justly, especially when brought into a courtroom. They're not to be discriminated against. And, you know, this is really one of the essential purposes for which our Constitution was written. If you read the preamble of the Constitution, it was to establish justice. And how are you going to establish justice unless you have a standard of justice? And that standard of justice for our founders, the laws of nature's God, found very clearly written for us in the Bible. Furthermore, in addition to the Constitution reflecting on that, obviously, the Declaration of Independence states that the very purpose of civil government, the only reason that civil government exists, is to secure the rights and liberties given to every human being by the Creator. Every person has their rights given to them by the Creator. And by the way, I debated a history professor a while back, and he was arguing that the Declaration and the Constitution really had nothing to do with each other, and there's this great span of change that took place in America. And so, you know, you can throw out the Declaration, basically, in his argument. It's like, no. The Constitution clearly refers to the Declaration as the start of our country. and refers to it as the foundation of law. In fact, if you were to pull down the enormous set of books, the volumes that are the U.S. Code, you would find at the very beginning of the U.S. Code, the United States Declaration of Independence is in the organic laws. The actual DNA, so to speak, of our country is right there, and the organic laws of the United States include the Declaration of Independence. So those who would want to deny the Declaration, shove it off to one side, they are denying not only the history, but they're denying the legal facts on the ground in America today. The Declaration is the organic law of these United States, and it clearly, in a sense, tells us the why of human government, that is, why it exists and what the purpose of human government is. The Constitution goes on to explain the how that why is fulfilled. The why is to protect and secure our God-given rights. How that's done is laid out in the 7 articles of the U.S. Constitution and then the 10 articles of the U.S. Bill of Rights and subsequent amendments. So that's a background of what it means to have human rights, because we are made in the image of God. The first realistic view of human nature that our founders took into account as they constructed our system of government. The second, though, is, you know, almost might say the opposite. Yes, we are made in the image of God, but all men are fallen creatures, sinful creatures, and therefore the need for government exists because no human being is perfectly righteous and perfectly just. And, in fact, the biblical purpose given for civil government, Romans 13, is to punish the evildoers and protect the righteous, or Peter puts it in his first epistle, chapter 2, verses 13 and 14, the government is, civil government is for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those who do good. And so our founders understood that mankind is a fallen, sinful creature who's not to be trusted with power. James Madison said in Federalist Paper 55, and Federalist Papers were a series of articles published in the newspaper to persuade New Yorkers in particular, in New York State, to ratify the Constitution. So they were explaining details of it and explaining the philosophy behind it and so on. And Madison said in Federalist Paper 55, as there is a degree of depravity in mankind, right here he admits that mankind are sinners, there is a degree of depravity in mankind which requires a certain degree of circumspection and distrust, so there are other qualities in human nature which justify a certain portion of esteem and confidence. Republican government presupposes the existence of these qualities in a higher degree than any other form. That is, both the man made in the image of God, therefore his rights are given by God, and then secondly, that all men are fallen and sinful creatures who are not to be trusted with unlimited power. And if people doubt that that statement really reflects what the Bible says about human nature, you turn a couple pages back to the Federalist Paper 51. And here again, James Madison, who's rightly called the father of the Constitution, James Madison says the need for government flows from the fact that all men are fallen creatures with a sinful nature. Wow! You cannot deny that James Madison here was expressing a biblical view of human nature. He proceeds to say, but what is government itself but the greatest of all reflections on human nature? If men were angels, no government would be necessary. If angels were to govern men, neither external nor internal controls on government would be necessary. In other words, the government would be perfect. None of the people in government, because they're angels, would ever do anything wrong, anything unjust, anything wicked or sinful. But he goes on to say, in framing a government which is to be administered by men, not angels, by men over men, the great difficulty lies in this. You must first enable the government to control the governed, and in the next place oblige it, that is the government, to control itself. That's the big problem we have today. We've got a government that's on steroids in terms of controlling the population, controlling how much water we flush down our toilets, and oh, many, many ridiculous things that are really none of the business of government. That is the limited structure of government as it was designed by our founders. It has nothing to do with how much water you flush down your toilet or 100,000 other things that government's engaged in today. The problem is they control the population a great deal, but who's in control of them? And who's obliging the government to control itself to stay within the limits of our agreement with our government, that is the covenant we formed when we created the federal government, the U.S. Constitution. And the answer to that, that our founders repeated again and again, the final check inside the system itself to prevent tyranny, prevent the government from going outside of its boundaries, is the jury. That the jury, both the grand jury and the petit jury, functions in this role of obliging civil government to control itself, obliging civil government to abide by the standards established by the Constitution. And most citizens have no idea, and they're certainly not going to be told this in the courtroom. They won't be told this in most classrooms. As a matter of fact, there's very
few. You're going to have to hold on. Hold that thought. We'll be right back in just a moment.
Are terrorist cells or prime terror targets located near you? Where are military bases and hazardous waste sites located? How do you find the best area for solar, average rainfalls, fish contamination advisories, and major transportation routes? In the new interactive CD book, Prudent Places USA, you will find the information you want with over 50 interactive parameters that you control. Find everything from housing prices and taxes to brewing environmental catastrophes. Locate billion-dollar disaster-prone areas, the safest cities, ideal solar locations, and much, much more. Complete with over 3 gigabytes of detailed information on each of the 3,000-plus counties in the U.S., including 550 high-resolution, full-color maps, and full-color photographs, as well as detailed information and analysis that you need. Get this hard-to-find information by ordering Prudent Places USA now for only $29 plus shipping and handling by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438 or order on the web at BerkeyWater.com.
Hi, this is Ted Turbolizard, and I am inviting you to the Great Freedom Rally on the West Lawn of the Capitol in Washington, D.C. on April 15th. This is being billed as a gathering of the Freedom Tribes from across the United States, and there will be many wonderful speakers and entertainers there from across the nation, including Dave Von Kleist, Will to Power, Ron Paul, Murray Sabrin, Wanda Case, Lakota Sioux Elders, and many, many more. Some of my favorites include B.J. Lawson of North Carolina and Dean Santoro of Florida, who, along with myself, represent a new breed of Republicans that will be speaking out for an end to the economic slavery of the United States people due to excessive taxation, and pointing to a future of prosperity and faith in free market economics. For more information, visit gcnlive.com, taxday08.com, hauling.ronpaulroadshow.org, or grannywarriors.com. You can help sponsor this celebration by making a donation at grannywarriors.com, the organizers of this event. See you there in D.C. on the 15th.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll-free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our Founding Fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
Since the year 2000, earthquakes, heat waves, droughts, tsunamis, floods, fires, and hurricanes have killed over 1 million people worldwide and forced tens of millions to go without food and water. After Katrina, the media was eager to show victims in New Orleans begging for food. If a disaster strikes you and your loved ones and you have no stored food, you'll be begging as well. Now our economy is slipping into an abyss that even Donald Trump says will make the Great Depression look like a Sunday picnic. The U.S. dollar is worth less today than it was even last week. Before food prices skyrocketed, trucks stop running and stores close their doors, Survival Enterprises can help you prepare. They're master distributors of Mountain House freeze-dried food with up to a 50-year shelf life. Survival Enterprises has real butter, cheese, and bread, real beef, chicken, and turkey, all canned for long-term storage. For their website and more info, call 1-800-753-1981. That's 1-800-753-1981. And remember, if you wait until you need us, it's too late. Call now.
And back here at the Genesis Communication Network. And, of course, David's been talking about the relationship between the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence. And certainly the people at the time of our Constitution was written felt that the Declaration was sort of like the Articles of incorporation of the Constitution. They said what the Constitution was going to be all about, and of course, this beautifully covered in a book called Betrayed by the Bench by John Stormer. But if you really want to get into the relationship between the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence, I would suggest you go to Article 7 and the third paragraph there, in talking about the signing of the Constitution, and I quote, "Done in convention by the unanimous consent of the states present the 17th day of September in the year of our Lord 1787 and of the independence of the United States of America the 12th. Well, of course, 12 years before that was the signing of the Declaration of Independence. So that was when they recognized the independence of America came about. Was dependent upon the Declaration of Independence. It's an integral part of our society, which is why they don't teach that in schools, or if they do teach it, they delete the part about under God, because there is an intense hatred of God, of Christianity, because they know if they can destroy Christianity, they can destroy virtue, and if they can destroy virtue, they can destroy liberty, and that's what it's really all about, is the destruction of America. And that's why, of course, what David is doing is so important, is to rekindle in you an interest in our Declaration, in our Constitution, in our Bill of Rights, about the foundation of our freedom that you will never hear, of course, discussed by our president or the members of his cabinet or by the leaders of either political party or by the media or by our teachers or by our university professors, because so many of them are involved in this effort to destroy what was once the land of the free and the home of the brave, and replace it with an authoritarian democracy with a ruler at the top who has total power over the lives of the people, backed up by the military and the police. David, please pick up the story.
Well, yes, before the break we were talking about your power as a citizen. Most people, well, you hear a lot now about the campaigns leading up to November's election, and most people think they have that one vote they cast at the ballot box, and, you know, that's basically their say, and that's it, other than perhaps contacting their congressman and legislator, which they ought to do on a regular basis with pieces of legislation they recognize as unconstitutional and need to be struck down rather than passed. But there's actually two more powerful votes that most citizens don't think much about, or if they think about them at all, they usually think of them in a very negative sense. Those two more powerful votes than the votes you cast in an election are your vote on a grand jury and your vote on a petit jury. Now, sad to say, when most Americans receive their summons for jury duty, they groan. Oh, no. How can I get out of this? What excuse? You know, my grandmother died, so, or whatever it is. Somehow to get out of jury duty, most Americans do not want to serve on jury duty because they do not know it is an extremely powerful position they have on a grand jury, on a petit jury, to bring justice and to stop in its tracks a tyrannical government when the government steps outside of the boundaries established by our founding documents, the Declaration, the Constitution, and the Bill of Rights. So I would contend that your vote on a grand jury and petit jury ought to be more motivating to you than even going to the ballot box and casting your vote in an election. Not that you would downplay doing that, but ought to realize that you have great more power in those second two votes, the grand and petit jury, than you do even at the ballot box. We need to understand that, as we've said, from the Declaration clearly states that rights and liberties come from God. The purpose of government is to secure those. As a matter of fact, in the preamble to our Constitution, it says, "We, the people of the United States, in order to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and to our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution." So it was designed to receive the blessings of liberty. When you think of blessings, where do blessings come from? Come from fellow citizens? No, they come from God. And when we follow God's law, we receive God's blessings. And that's basically what our founders were saying there. We want to follow God's law in our society, and we know when we do that, we will receive the blessings of liberty. But each citizen is absolutely essential to enforcing the law and holding our civil government to the terms of our covenant with the civil government, which is our U.S. Constitution. There isn't any, constitutional police force other than all of us as citizens that can force the government to abide by the terms that we have formed with it in our Constitution. You know, it used to be very commonly understood that America was a Christian nation founded upon biblical law, and that everyone in the courtroom was supposed to respect and follow biblical law. Consider what Judge Nathaniel Freeman, who was judge of the common pleas for 30 years in Massachusetts, he also served as a congressman from Massachusetts back in 1781. Listen to what he instructed a jury with these words in 1802.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment, please.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Black Berkey purification elements are more powerful than any gravity filter element on the market. These awesome elements are used in Berkey purification systems, and they can also be used to upgrade most other gravity filtration systems. They can purify raw, untreated water by removing pathogenic bacteria, cysts, parasites, trihalomethanes, and chemicals such as chlorine, atrazine, styrene, and MTBE. These elements also reduce unwanted heavy metals such as lead, mercury, and aluminum. Unbelievably, they even remove small microparticulate from water like food coloring particles. Yet, they leave in the nutritional minerals that your body needs. Moreover, because they are recleanable, Black Berkey elements are more economical than the standard disposable elements, providing fresh, pure water for less than 2 cents per gallon.
Get a two-pack for only $99 or a four-pack for only $188 by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. That's 888-803-4438 or order on the web at berkeywater.com.
Hi, this is Brother Michael Diamond. You can now get the most important package ever on what has happened to the Catholic Church in the last 50 years. Find out how this massive crisis concerning the Catholic Church happened, what happened, and how the Bible predicted it would take place in the last days. The package contains 6 DVDs that contain 10 different programs, 2 books that combined are over 1,000 pages and other information. Order now at our website, mostholyfamilymonastery.com. That's mostholyfamilymonastery.com. The last word monastery is spelled M-O-N-A-S-T-E-R-Y. Or call us at 1-800-275-1126. That's 1-800-275-1126. Or mail in your order to us at 4425 Schneider Road, Fillmore, New York, 14735. The total cost for this massive package of information is only $10, $15 for UPS Ground, or $30 outside the U.S.
If you're a chocolate lover, then now you can use chocolate to get the healthy body you've always wanted. Introducing Coco Pure Chocolate Tea, the most innovative health drink ever, with ingredients connected to a stronger immune system, a healthier heart, and more beautiful skin. Here's nutritional expert Dr. Alex Duarte.
Coco Pure Chocolate Tea blends the nutrition of concentrated cocoa with natural green tea and an extract from red wine. This makes it a triple action supplement with more antioxidant value than most fruits and vegetables. It has a natural energy booster, digestive health boosters, and much more. Best of all, this is probably the most delicious supplement that you're ever going to taste.
Today, you can try Coco Pure Chocolate Tea risk-free. If you don't think this is the most delicious way to get healthy, you can return the empty bottle for your money back. To try Coco Pure, call 1-800-457-9914. Coco Pure will help get your health back on track. Call 1-800-457-9914. That's 1-800-457-9914.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at the Genesis Communication Network, and our guest today, Pastor David Whitney. Before we go on, I do want, of course, David to get his website out. I want him to get his telephone number out, and then we'll go on with the story.
Thank you, Dr. Stan. Our website, where we have a web store that offers many different materials, but the most important item is the host kit, which enables anyone to communicate what our founders' view of law and government is, as well as give a working knowledge of the Declaration, the Constitution, and the Bill of Rights. They can go to our website, iotconline.com. That stands for Institute on the Constitution. It's iotconline.com, and click on the web store there, and there's many different materials, but the host kit will get them started in understanding and communicating these truths to their circle of friends, family, church members, hopefully, reaching out into the wider community as we desire and aim at reaching millions of Americans with the truths of what our founders clearly established in our Constitution, Declaration, and Bill of Rights. Or if they don't want to order by the web store, they can call us toll-free. Institute on the Constitution's toll-free number is 866-730-9796. That toll-free number again for Institute on the Constitution is 866-730-9796. And we're very blessed to have hosts around the country. Later this month, there's one in Central Virginia. We're graduating a class there. And then the one out in the highlands of Northern California, a class graduating later this month. So around the country, classes are being conducted. And we're very, very encouraged by that.
And don't you actually have classes in literally every state in the union?
Yes, and they're not always, I mean, in other words, once a year, some classes, I know some hosts are doing classes concurrently, so they finish one class, a few weeks later they start a new class, but in all 50 states in the past year, one class has been hosted somewhere in that state, and that's very encouraging because we know it's going to take a grassroots uprising, and perhaps as the economy falters here and the onerous and tyrannical aspects of what our government is becoming become apparent, Americans will wake up and say, we desperately need to do something, and we need to do it quickly. And the very first step that everyone needs to take, really, is to be educated about what is the supreme law of the land, our Constitution, and what is our founders' view of law and government that is undergirding all that our government was designed to be. Without that foundation, then you can go off in 50 different directions and accomplish nothing, but you cannot restore the republic until you know what the republic you're restoring is and what it was designed to be. And as I was mentioning before the break, it was understood in an earlier day in America, I'm making a quote here from 1802 from Judge Nathaniel Freeman, it was very clearly understood. He said, the laws of the Christian system, as embraced by the Bible, must be respected as of high authority in all our courts, and it cannot be thought improper for the officers of such government to acknowledge their obligation to govern by its rule. That's by the Bible's rule. Our government originated in voluntary compact of a people who, in that very instrument that is in the Constitution, profess the Christian religion. It may be considered not a republic like Rome was, a pagan, but a Christian republic. And that's a judge there instructing a jury about their job as jurors there in Massachusetts in the year 1802. Contrast that with just a few years ago, it was there in Colorado. There was a rape and murder case. It was obvious the person was guilty. There was no doubt about it. All the jurors agreed on that. But the case was thrown out by the Supreme Court of Colorado after they convicted, after they said this murderer, this rapist is guilty. The Supreme Court threw the case out because several jurors, during deliberation, discussed a couple Bible verses, you know, verses like an eye for an eye, a tooth for tooth, and so on, justifying the use of the death penalty in their deliberations, which is what they're supposed to do as jurors, according to our founders. But the black-robed tyrants of Colorado, their Supreme Court, threw it out because, oh, you can't have any reference to the Bible. The Bible isn't the law. Not so. Our founders said it was and is the law, and according to the Declaration of Independence, is the foundation of law upon which our republic was built. And so, for a juror really to be able to do their job well, they need to understand justice as explained and detailed from the Bible, and then they need to go on to understand the Constitution. You know, our founders knew what tyranny was. They had experienced tyranny from King George III, and they, as you mentioned earlier, they avoided creating a democracy because they often called it a mobocracy, that is, ruled a tyrannical rule by a majority. You get 51% of the people to do something or to decide to do something, and the other 49%, oh, sorry, you're out of luck. You're not going to have your rights protected. 51% get their rights protected. They did not want that. They knew that was not a safe form of government. They stated that they recognized that there needed to be a system that prevented majority tyranny. And they said, and this, by the way, is quoting again, the Federalist Paper, and this is Federalist number 10, they said church, not God, was to be separate from the state, so that ecclesiastical functions and governmental functions would not interfere with religious and political liberty. So that just because there is a separate function for the church, a separate jurisdiction for the church versus a separate jurisdiction for the civil government, that did not mean that God and God's law, God's commandments, were separate from the civil government. When God says, thou shalt not steal, it's the job of government to punish those who steal, and basically to reward those who don't steal. To see that God's law and justice is done. And so really, when we look at our very structure of government, it's rooted in biblical revelation. For example, we have three branches of government. I think it was just our founders who, you know, in their brains came up with this smart idea, let's have three branches of government. No, they came, that idea came from the scriptures. And Isaiah 33 and verse 22 says, the Lord is our lawgiver, the Lord is our judge, the Lord is our king, he will save us. So there you see the three branches of government: legislative branch, judicial branch, and the executive branch. And the federal government was divided into those three branches following the plan that was laid out in the biblical teaching in Isaiah 33, as well as other places as well. We know that the Article 10 of our Bill of Rights delegates, or shows that the delegation of certain powers to the federal government doesn't mean that all power is granted to Washington, D.C. No, only those delegated, enumerated, limited powers that are granted in the Constitution are given to the federal government. All the remaining powers either reside in the state governments or reside with the people themselves. And the people have these powers and rights against the government tyranny. And there's only a slight difference, you see, between anarchy, and most people recognize anarchy is a bad form of government. That's where everybody does what's right in their own eyes. Hey, this guy's got a gun and he wants to steal your property. If you don't have any protection, too bad, he's going to steal it because there's no law. That's anarchy, everybody doing what's right in their own eyes. And most people recognize that's not good. That's not good for anybody if there is absolute lawlessness. Well, anarchy really is individuals who are violating God's law, freely violating God's law, doing what's right in their own eyes. Well, there's an equally dangerous and bad system of government that our founders warned us against, and that is tyranny. Anarchy, you'd say, is one end of the scale, and tyranny is at the other end of the scale. Tyranny is government lawlessness. That idea might kind of sound strange. How can the government be lawless? Isn't the government the one that makes the laws and enforces the laws and puts people in prison for breaking the laws? How can the government be lawless? Well, our founders said a government is lawless whenever a government breaks God's law. And that's what they accused King George and the Parliament of doing there in the Declaration of Independence. Here's 28 violations the king has engaged in where he has broken God's law, and they concluded at the end of that statement, therefore, he's unfit to be the ruler of a free people. He can't rule because he's acting as a tyrant, and tyrants need to be replaced. They are not just rulers because they're breaking God's law. So whether it's the individual, anarchy, breaking God's law, or the government, tyranny, breaking God's law, both are to be avoided, and that is avoided when you follow the constitutional republic. And that's exactly what our founders designed, a government by compact, where there's a sharing between the powers of the central government, the federal government, and the state government, and the local government, that each of these separation by levels of government, four levels of government, that separation means that each of those is to be a check upon the other. The state governments particularly were to be a check against the federal government, and this is addressed in Federalist 47 and 48, 49, 50, and 51. They're all excellent to read, and 45 as well very clearly expresses that, you know, the federal government was to have only very limited, small, specific powers, primarily dealing with external things, you know, trade relations with other countries, treaties with other countries, or having to bring about war to protect ourselves from invasion and so on. That's the kind of thing the federal government dealt with. Everything else was to be dealt with by the states. The states were to have a wide-ranging powers and the federal government very, very limited powers. Well, that design has now been turned on its head, and it's the opposite. The federal government has unlimited powers virtually, and the states are nothing but political subdivisions of the federal government, completely opposite of our founders' design. Consider what Madison said in Federalist 51. The concept of countervailing ambitions, as well as the constitutional framework of opposite and rival interests, was designed to prevent tyranny. Each branch of government, as well as each level of government, is given power to serve as a check on the other branch or level of civil government. The three branches, legislative, executive, and judicial, and the four levels, federal, state, county, and local, all four levels, all three branches, are to serve as a check and balance against each other. And if you don't have that, you will have tyranny that develops if power is centralized all in one place, or even if power is centralized in 51%, which is really what a democracy is. 51% of the people who go to vote, they held the power to change the law, to do whatever they please. And I like what Noah Webster, one of our founders, said. In democracy, there are commonly tumults and disorders. Therefore, a pure democracy is generally a very bad government. It is often the most tyrannical government on earth. Look at that statement. That democracy is often the most tyrannical government on earth. And our founders understood that because they knew that human nature being fallen could not be trusted with absolute unlimited power. Even 51% of the people could not be trusted with unlimited and unchecked power.
And I think it's so important that our listeners understand that the people who are trying to convince us we're a democracy know exactly what David is saying. They want, of course, this unlimited power, knowing full well that once all power is centralized in Washington, D.C., they can buy and sell the congressmen and the senators, and then, of course, they'll be the rulers. We are a republic. We are not a democracy. All the evidence is there. People only need to think about it. We do not pledge, when we pledge the flag to the democracy for which it stands, but to the republic. How could you convince people of a lie? Why, we have freedom of the press. That is, the people who have owned the press have the freedom to distort our reality, and that's what's going on. And the ultimate goal is a police state in America. And if you're not involved, you're part of the problem. Go right ahead, David.
Well, coming back to the jury system, I'm going to argue throughout the presentation here when we look at the subsequent months that the jury system really is one of the founders' designs, very, very important design, to be a check against all the levels of government and all the branches of government. The jury can put a stop to injustice when that is done. And again, this was based upon the biblical Hebrew Republic. Most people have heard of the Hebrew kings like King Saul and David and King Solomon and so on, and they think, well, that was the form of government that Israel had. Well, not initially. In fact, the monarchy was not the best form of government. God said he had a better form of government that he formed before the monarchy, and that was the Hebrew Republic. So at Mount Sinai, when he established the Hebrew Republic, he gave the law through Moses to the people, and he gave them laws such as this in Leviticus 19:15, a law that directly relates to the idea of the jury that was all the way rooted back there in the Hebrew Republic. And Leviticus 19:15 says, you shall do no injustice in judgment. You shall not be partial to the poor, nor honor the person of the mighty. In righteousness you shall judge the poor. Or turn over to Exodus 23, verses 3 and 6. You shall not show partiality to a poor man in his dispute. You shall not pervert the judgment of your poor in his dispute. Or in Deuteronomy 16, verses 19 and 20. You shall not pervert justice. You shall not show partiality, nor take a bribe. For a bribe blinds the eyes of the wise and twists the words of the righteous. You shall follow what is altogether just, that you may live and inherit the land which the Lord your God is giving to you. And so it was established that the people were to be involved in making judgments in the court of law, and determining guilt and innocence, and to do justice in those. Everyone was to know the law of God. When instruction was given to Moses in Exodus 18 and verse 20, the instruction was this: and you, Moses, shall teach them, that is all the people, you shall teach them the statutes and the law, and show them the way in which they must walk, and the work they must do. What was the work they must do? The work of justice. You see, the jury system really was developed initially in the Hebrew Republic, and it was the best form of government because it was given by God, and our founders consciously drew elements from the Hebrew Republic, the jury system being one of those. Of course, it wasn't a new creation. It had its roots in English common law and actually rooted back in other European countries as well that had a jury system even before Magna Carta. But Magna Carta certainly, in print, put down the vital importance and great power of the jury system. However, it really, in history, it remained in America to develop this jury system to its highest potential, its biblical model. And Rush Dooney, in his book Institutes of Biblical Law, talks about the jury system. He says, the jury system was developed in America to a far-reaching power on the premise of a biblical law order in which each citizen knows the law. The requirement that jury members be believers in Massachusetts Bay Colony was not a church requirement, but a state requirement. The law order required men knowledgeable in biblical law. And that's a quote from Rush Dooney's book, Biblical Institutes, where he talks about the history of the jury. Well, in America today, we in our courtrooms have tyranny and not liberty, and most Americans know that. They have a sense something's terribly wrong in our judicial system, and most Americans know that if you're going to be dragged into court, you're not likely to see justice done. You're more likely to have your shirt taken from you, and you'll come away with great wounds to you financially or what have you. And the result of this is the result of moving towards tyranny. I have a couple books in my library even labeled either judicial tyranny or the imperial judiciary. These kind of
We're out of time. We're out of time, David. Thanks so much. God bless. Talk to you next month.
Now you can bring Berkey purification power anywhere with the Sport Berkey filtration bottle. Ideal for sporting games, camping or boating, or Sport Berkey is small enough to store in your glove box, so it's ideal backup for unexpected emergencies like blackouts, floods, or earthquakes. It's simply the best personal water filtration system available. So effective you can drink raw, untreated water from lakes, rivers, and streams. Unlike other sport bottles, the Sport Berkey's patented filter formulation is so powerful it removes cysts, parasites, harmful bacteria, and chemicals like herbicides and pesticides. It even reduces radon-222, lead, and other heavy metals. This lightweight, rugged 22-ounce filter is small enough to go everywhere, so take one to work and keep another in your glove box for emergencies. Get the Berkey Sport for only $39. Get two for $70 by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. Order your Berkey Sport today. That's toll-free, 888-803-4438, or order on the web at berkeywater.com.
Have you made preparations to look after yourself and your family in case there's a national emergency or a terrorist attack? Well, I want to tell you that the government's looking after their people. In fact, plans have been made to protect people of high-ranking position in government, but they're not making any preparations for the average individual, so you're going to have to look after yourself. If you'd like information on long-term food storage, if you'd like information on the other items you would need in case of a national emergency, why don't you give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927 and ask for the emergency food catalog. We'll get it right off to you and we'll get the items shipped directly from Ready Reserve Foods. That's 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. You're going to have to begin making preparations to look after yourself.
This is George Whitehurst Berry of the Genesis Communications Network. Have you ever wanted the truth about the economy? Crash, Are You Ready? Is the fastest growing program on GCN. Our one-hour program airs weekdays, Monday through Friday, from 10 to 11 a.m. Central Time, just after the Power Hour, and just before Alex Jones. To listen to rebroadcast 24 and 7, visit our website at www.hearitonline.com and click on the appropriate link. Our unparalleled guest lineup has included patriots such as Congressman Ron Paul, Scott Ritter, former UN Chief Weapons Inspector Murray Neal, inventor of the revolutionary dragonskin body armor, and Philip Torme, USS Liberty survivor. We also focus on alternative health and survival topics. Go to www.hearitonline.com. That's HEARITONLINE.com.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at the Genesis Communication Network, and I certainly hope you enjoyed our conversation with David Whitney. It's vitally important that you learn the Constitution, and then you help us teach it to others. And then, of course, this is the time when I need to remind our listeners, Radio Liberty is primarily listener-supported, and if you agree with us that we're involved in a spiritual battle and you're positioned to help, we do hope that many of you will join the Radio Liberty family of supporters, and it's as simple as picking up your telephone and calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. And then, of course, if you have not got yourself situated or prepared for the difficult times that lie ahead, you really want to give serious consideration to laying in a supply of long-term storage food, a means, of course, purifying water, places to store water, barrels. We have barrels. We have the pumps to get the water out of the barrels from. And certainly, if we carry the Berkey water filters. But the long-term storage food is important. Believe me, the prices are going up. We've been talking about this for some time. Prices really are going up. Shortages are developing, not only here in America, but really predominantly throughout the rest of the world. But it's only a matter of time before we have the same problem here. So if you are in a position to lay in a supply of long-term storage food, why, if you'd like a catalog, we'll send you one. Give us a call, 1-800-544-8927. If you have a catalog, and we know thousands of you out there do, and just haven't gotten around to do anything, do not put it off, because you never know when you're going to wake up some morning and it's going to be too late. And if you don't get it from us, get it from some other place, but be sure you are prepared to shelter you and your family in place. If you haven't seen that DVD we have on sheltering in place, you need to get it. We have a 4-tape set on civilian defense. We have the book, Making the Best Basics. It just tells you what to do if you don't have all the things that we're so used to having, and how to store food and how to prepare food. And then, of course, we have the book, Nuclear War Survival Skills, and even tells you how to make a radiation detector. In fact, we have a little kit. If you get that book, there's about 40 or 50 pages there. It tells you how to do it, but we have all the parts, and it's really rather inexpensive to get the parts to build one of these little radiation detectors. Just takes a little time to do it. So I never again, for all of these items, the DVD Sheltering in Place, the 4-tape set on the civilian defense, the book Making the Best of Basics, and Nuclear War Survival Skills, available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-5-HIV. More. If you'd like, of course, to get into the background of our Constitution, and of course, this, the separation of church and state, really justifying the war on Christianity, the book we carry is Betrayed by the Bench by John Stormer, who wrote the classic Nundare Call It Treason and Nundare Call It Treason 25 Years Later, both of which we carry. And then, of course, we have a 4-tape set on the foundations of our freedom. We have something called the Freedom Documents, put together by Pastor Chuck Baldwin, and they're listing basically all of the documents that our foundation of our freedom is based upon, starting with the Magna Carta and all the way up to the Gettysburg Address, Washington's Farewell Address, so many of the addresses by our great presidents. And you want to have them at your fingertips so you can read them through, so you can discuss intelligently. That's called the Freedom Documents, another one of the things available from Radio Liberty. If you'd like to get one of our catalogs, we'd be glad to.